As so many of us grapple with fear and anxiety around the coronavirus, there's been a lot of talk about one of the demographics most at risk, elders. But there's kind of an irony here because people whose age fits that description don't necessarily want to think of themselves as old. That has to do with ageism and this fear that it's all downhill once you hit a certain age. Or on the other hand, that if we just do the right things, we can avoid looking or feeling older. Producer Tina Antolini has been reporting on stories about aging for the past year, and she's going to introduce us now to some California women who turn a lot of common assumptions about getting older upside down.
There's one group of people who've been held up as kind of heroes of successful aging. They have a tendency to live to be very old and to stay healthier and happier while doing it. That group is American Catholic nuns. As a case in point, meet Sister Mary Edith Hurley.
Here you go. All right, first on the program, one big room here with four little rooms.
Mary Edith is a Sister of Mercy and lives in their large convent in Burlingame on the outskirts of San Francisco. The convent is home to so many aging sisters that it has an on-site assisted living facility called Marian Oaks.
Kitchen, refrigerator, microwave, office.
When I visited last year, Sister Mary Edith was 1 week away from her 100th birthday. She delighted in showing me around her apartment.
What does the pillow say? Will you read it to me?
It says, 'Tis a blessing to be Irish.
Mary Edith grew up in a big Irish family in San Francisco and went to a local Sisters of Mercy Catholic school. She remembers hanging around even when school wasn't in session, watching the nuns.
I liked them. They were good company. Sounded like they were having a good time, so I wasn't too holy in those days. I'm still not.
With her spunky sense of humor, Sister Mary Edith leads a robust life. She spends her days scooting around the Marian Oaks facility with her walker.
All right, let me take you down the hall.
She goes to prayer services and social gatherings at the mother house of the convent next door. She's in relative good health. You can see why a nun like her would be held up as a model of getting older. But it's not for the reasons you'd think.
There's this incredible kind of paradox that we've got. They don't see aging as successful or unsuccessful. They see it as just natural.
That's an anthropologist named Anna Corwin, who's been studying aging nuns. Anna also teaches at St. Mary's College in Moraga, California. So, what are the nuns doing differently? The Sisters of Mercy, Mary Edith's convent, break open a lot of our notions about aging. I'm going to go through some of the assumptions we make, one by one, and with Anna's help, show how the nuns turn them upside down. Assumption number one about a good old age: independence is vital.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice.
On a Sunday evening last year, long before COVID-19 made gatherings difficult, about a dozen nuns got together in an upstairs room full of couches in the Mercy Center convent. They're here for an informal prayer gathering.
Believe from this day on, all ages will call me blessed. For God, wonderful in power, has used that strength for me. Holy the name of the Lord.
Following the prayers, they have a social gathering that strongly resembles a cocktail hour. A table in the corner is stocked with a cheese platter and other snacks, along with wine, beer, and whiskey, which is what Sister Joan Marie O'Donnell is eyeing.
Single malt scotch?
Yes.
Single malt. This is good.
That's what it says.
This is a Sunday ritual. Prayer, social, dinner.
There is a cheerful conviviality to the room, enhanced by the fact that many of these women have been living together since they became nuns, decades ago. They are practiced at communal living. And Anna says they learn to rely on each other long before getting old demands it.
And that's part of this sense of interdependence, is that when there were older nuns who needed their care, they were there for them. And so then a little later in their lives, when they are the ones who need care and have to depend on each other, that seems like a natural sort of circular path.
Sister Sister Joan Marie O'Donnell, who is 78 years old, has been a Sister of Mercy since she was 18. She recently retired after having worked for decades as a high school teacher and then in healthcare for elders.
I pay close attention to those sisters that are older than myself, some of them who've been mentors to me. Very often when I'll visit Sister, I'll come home and I'll say, Joan, take note. You know, take note. I mean, really, take this in. This is awesome.
Assumption number two about aging successfully: it's important to stay productive and useful to society. Sister Suzanne Tulin is 92 and has been a musician, an organist, and a composer for going on 8 decades. She wrote this hymn she's playing, I Am the Bread of Life, which is in hymnals all across the country. She also founded a spiritual retreat center at the convent.
I have a hard time with my hand.
Yeah.
Is it because of arthritis, Suzanne can't play the way she used to. She has a tendency to get down on herself for not being able to contribute as she always has.
Looking back, I wrote things for events and for people for an occasion, and that doesn't come my way that much anymore. I could make it, but I just may be a little lazy.
And that's when her fellow sisters swoop in, like Sister Brian Kelber here.
Susie, I have to tell you that you are the heart of Mercy liturgy and music. You helped, and I couldn't sing either, but you were so kind to me because she taught all the young sisters singing. But she said, you can carry the music. So I had a prominent place. But really, you are the gift, and your talents are wonderful, but you are the gift.
Suzanne, just by being who she was contributing in her sister's eyes. Anna Corwin says this is the ethic so different from American society at large.
There is so much socialization in the convent towards the idea that being a good person is much more important than doing good in the world. And so even though doing good is important, they do a tremendous amount, there's this idea that being a certain type of person is the most valuable thing.
And in the convent, there are ways of contributing that aren't physically demanding. Just praying for someone is valuable. This attitude around the person being the most important thing, beyond what they can productively offer, it extends to even more extreme situations. At Mercy Center's assisted living facility, I saw sisters with even bigger physical or cognitive challenges being integrated into daily life. Like this one afternoon, Sister Suzanne was showing me around her apartment.
And I had to put more chairs in because I have visitors every night. Yeah,
one of Suzanne's best friends, Sister Marguerite Buchanan, who's 87, joins in.
Every night we come and listen to, you know, the news and Jeopardy.
One of our sisters with dementia loves Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and she's good at it.
So we
watched that.
The fact that this sister, Pat, has dementia doesn't stop her from being folded into the social life of the convent. She's not walled off on her own with other people who have memory issues. Marguerite says she's invited to play Rummy Cube.
She wins every once in a while, and she also, does she do bingo anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she does bingo. She was president of our community and everything, and she cannot remember 10 minutes ago now. She's getting so much worse, but she's so gracious.
She's just gorgeous about it. She's not fighting it or anything.
Yeah. And then we have another friend that we've been friends with all our lives, but she's driving us nuts because she talks about the same thing constantly. And we keep saying, Barbara, we've heard this before 60 times.
So it's not like the nuns are saints. They have the emotional reactions to these changes in their friends that we all might. But there is an emphasis here on letting go, which brings us to another way the nuns challenge our notions of how to be in old age. Assumption number three, as you get older, try your best to stay in control. For most people in the U.S., being in control of where you live, what you eat, who your friends are, what your future holds, that's paramount. But the nuns took a vow of obedience decades ago that meant they gave up a lot of that autonomy. I saw that acceptance in subtle ways with the Mercy Center nuns, like the way Marguerite and Suzanne have navigated their friend Pat's decline. Marguerite says at first she was angry at Pat.
I get very irritated with her, like she shouldn't be this way. And the poor thing was coming into a dementia, you know, and she couldn't help it. But I had to get it for later that this was just, I had to love her this way, you know. It was all my need, see, to have my friend be the way I wanted her to be.
Marguerite recognized that was a need she had to let go of.
There's a lot of letting go around here, wouldn't you say? You know, physical limitations, and I mean, we're all laughing at each other. But it's like we think, you know, we're going to have to be this certain way all our lives. Well, sorry, it's not the way it is.
Really, I just feel very like I've got so much and so many people. Every night I pray for people who are homeless, and I have a hard time not feeling guilty.
About everything you have.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the heck do we do to deserve this? You know, you just kind of fell into it.
Lastly, assumption number 4 about aging. That it's better to not think about dying. In the U.S., there's a general avoidance of death, as if maybe if we didn't talk about it, it wouldn't happen. But in the convent, there's a comfort around it. When someone is dying, the sisters take turns sitting with them so they won't be alone. They also have lots of frank talk about their own deaths. Sister Mary Edith Hurley, the Irish nun we met earlier who says she's not too holy, she's already thought about what kind of service she'd like to have.
We have a sister that sort of looks ahead and wants to help us plan our funeral. She gave us a certain kind of a slip to put on the outfit we want to wear in the coffin. Oh.
As in, you choose your own funeral clothes.
Oh, I haven't gotten that. I guess they're afraid.
Haven't you gotten that?
No.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah, that was a big thing for a while.
Anthropologist Anna Corwin says nuns' attitudes around death are probably helped by a theology that doesn't consider it an endpoint. The nuns at Mercy Center spoke to me about a sense of being reunited with lost family members and friends when they die. Few of them spoke of it fearfully.
There's not a resistance of the end of life, and there's a sense that it's to be embraced as natural and normal and not to be looked away from and not to be avoided, but to be managed as gracefully as any other thing that they encounter in life.
So I, obviously, am not a nun. Chances are, neither are you. So what does looking at their different ways of viewing aging mean for us? I see it pointing the way our society could go. And the starting point for that may just be acceptance. Yep, we're going to get older. And that is natural. And fine. For the California Report, I'm Tina Antolini.